Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
What were the best books of 2014? Oh, there are so many. So let's get right to Barry Hardiman's picks. She's editor at NPR's Weekend Edition. She reads a lot of books. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Robin.
And start with the one, I mean, let's get right to it, the one you loved the most. I know that must be so hard, but have you got one?
I do. The one that broke my heart to finish is called The Paying Guests. This is Sarah Waters' superb novel. It's really the one for which I ignored my children for the day that I read it. It's set just post-World War I. It revolves around Frances Ray and her mother. They are forced to take in boarders in a sort of post-war landscape that is economically constricting for women. And a young couple named Leonard and Lillian Barber move in. And I don't want to say too much about it.
Sure.
But it's a romance develops between two of the characters, and it is just this wonderful microcosm of class and then sort of turns into this murder mystery. It is also, I have to just say this, it is a really sexy book for what is, you know, essentially this very, very literary novel. And yet it's not so sexy that I didn't give it to my mother for the holidays. So,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, you had me at post-World War I. So,
yeah.
So The Paying Guest, and by the way, we'll have all of Barry's picks at hereandnow.org. You've also said that this was a great year for books about women, as you said, at the center of this book.
Yes.
Books in which motherhood and womanhood were real topics.
Yeah, we're center stage, really, particularly with Paying Guests. This is the whole world of womanhood, mothers, sisters, wives, girlfriends. You know, these topics were taken with the seriousness of novels that were written about, like, the World War I trenches. So another book that I adored this year was Jenny Offhill's book. It's called The Department of Speculation. It's this tiny little just gem of a book. It's sort of told in these puzzle pieces, these bits of prose that give us clues to the narrator, who is a writer living in Brooklyn who becomes a wife and mother. That idea of these topics of our lives, of women's lives, becoming a mother, working through our relationships, you know, working, writing, really, really taking center stage and taken seriously in a very different way than Paying Guests.
And repeat that title?
Department of Speculation by Jenny Offhill. And it's just marvelous. It's also very, very small, so you will just burn through that in front of the fire over the holidays.
Okay, let's move to another trend that you noticed in 2014. It's been ongoing, sort of literary sci-fi fantasy dystopia. What have you got there?
I feel like these genres have been relegated to the corner in this way of, you know, somehow they're not literary, which I do not believe. But this was a year in which The Bone Clocks by David Mitchell really just is the book that everybody is reading. And what's great about it is everybody is reading a book which is essentially about time traveling immortals, which is not sort of the thing we think of when we think of literary fiction. So it blends realism and fantasy. This is a long book, but this is just a deeply written and researched and just beautifully told book. And it's not just for people who may have loved David Mitchell's previous book, Cloud Atlas. It's really for everyone. And there were two others, Robin, I just want to say, Michelle Faber, who is famous for writing The Crimson Petal and The White, also had this follow-up novel called The Book of Strange New Things, which is a book about aliens, like literally about aliens, which is this incredibly literary novel, which is just beautiful, about a missionary who goes to another planet to bring religion to it. The Book of Strange New Things is the Bible. And then also Chang Rae Lee's sort of odd dystopia On Such a Full Sea. These were big books that, you know, sort of pulled this genre out of the corner in which, you know, we think of it as sort of somehow less than literary fiction.
Right.
And, you know, while I don't believe that, this was just one of these years that really put the lie to that.
Okay, On Such a Full Sea, The Bone Clocks, Book of Strange New Things, we'll have the whole list. Talk about young adult fiction. There have been huge surges, Hunger Games, you know, Twilight. How is that going?
Well, so like I was saying, the dystopias that we were talking about sort of really kind of got big over the last couple of years in young adults. So you had Hunger Games and Divergent. But this year, I really wanted to focus on middle grade fiction. And middle grade is more readers that are like 8 to 12, whereas YA or young adult is really sort of 13 to 18. And the thing that happened in middle grade fiction this year is that, well, first of all, the real thing that happened was Brown Girl Dreaming by Jacqueline Woodson, which won the National Book Award. And it talks about her childhood growing up in both the North and South in the 1960s and 70s during the civil rights movement. And I'm saying that it's a middle grade book, but I'd really like every adult in my life to read it too. It's so beautiful. It's sort of this, it's a book about challenges of religion and finding the truth in religion, how she becomes a storyteller. I mean, talk about a book about becoming a woman, you know, like trying to find your identity as a person and a sister and a daughter and a writer. She is just luminous, and it's told in verse, which I think is a very interesting thing to do for that age, because that's an age where, you know, kids are sort of learning about what language can do. And I'll tell you, in this book, what language does is just unbelievable. I'd also single out C.C. Bell's wonderful memoir called El Defo. This is a graphic novel memoir, and it's about C.C. Bell's experience. She was profoundly deaf after a bout with meningitis as a child, and she starts first grade with the help of this new hearing device, which is a phonic ear, which is big and clunky. And it talks about her, sort of how she comes to terms with being someone who is somewhat different. It is so beautifully illustrated with these. The characters have bunny faces and ears, which is sort of like a little bit of a nod to the deafness. And it's a long book. It's actually like a long graphic memoir for a child this age. But I think it can actually be enjoyed by a variety of ages. And it's accessible and it's beautiful. And so I wanted to mention those two books because it sort of took YA and middle grade sort of out of the land of the scary dystopia and really into this beautiful realism that I think is just as important for kids to come into contact with.
Okay, we're going to have Barry Hardiman's whole list at hearandnow.org, and we want you to add your thoughts as well. But Barry, I'm wondering, what was your guilty pleasure this year? Or maybe a book you wish you'd read and didn't. For guilty pleasure, I was going to say Lena Dunham. And then I noticed that she made some best book lists. So, take that up.
Well, I really loved the Lena Dunham book, and I loved the Amy Poehler book. And, you know, I'm a sucker for a celebrity memoir. But I will say, for me, my real guilty pleasures are more in the realm of the sort of historical romance and fiction. And so this year, what I really loved is that Philippa Gregory had a new novel out. She does all these wonderful Tudor history, but told in fictional ways, books. So she wrote The Other Boleyn Girl, which was made into a big movie, you probably remember. And this year she had a book called The King's Curse, which, you know, is still in the same realm of Henry VIII, you know, rises to the throne and, you know, does a bunch of crazy stuff and whatever. But her characters are so good. So I know that this is not exactly in the realm of The Bone Clocks or The Paying Guest, but boy, do I love The King's Curse and Philippa Gregory and historical fiction. I mean, put somebody in a bodice, put a headdress on him, give me Henry VIII and I'm a happy lady.
That's Barry Hardiman, editor at...
Wait, Robin, I want to know what you loved this year.
Oh, I haven't given that a thought. Wait, I have my list right here. Atticus Lish's Preparation for the Next Life. I loved that book. We just recently featured it. Wonderful. Marilyn Robinson's Lila.
Oh, of course. Talk about a wonderful book about women. Yeah.
Smith Henderson's 4th of July Creek about a social worker in Montana. We loved that. And Pearl Klieg's Things I Should Have Told My Daughter.
Oh.
Just, there you have it.
What a lovely list. See, this is the great thing. Nobody's list overlaps.
Do you notice that? And listeners, we want your picks as well. Again, go to hearandnow.org. In the comment section, tell us your best books of 2014, and we'll have Barry's list there. Barry Hardiman, editor at NPR's Weekend Edition, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin. This was fun.